Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Tony, let's talk about a victory. Let's go.
I love the best.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Don't tell me that if they win, that you're not going to be watching on Sunday to see if they win. Don't tell me that if they do win, that you're not going to be pounding your chest. Because I guarantee you the folks at Hallis Hall are going to be doing that. See, we told you. We totally told you. Everything's going to be fine. And for a week, they will have the cover of being able to win a game and still have some hope. But there's precedent for a team that's 3-5 making the playoffs. It happened last year. The Cowboys did it. There's not a lot of precedent for a 3-6 team to make it. There's not a lot of precedent for a team that lost 5 in a row to make the playoffs. But once you get to 4-5 with a game against an opponent that's in front of you in the pecking order of the wild card, you extend time for hope. That's all I'm saying.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Yep, Black Yoda at it again. Stick with me and you'll learn some stuff. Welcome into the show. My name is Lawrence Holmes, here with you until 2 o'clock. It is a Built for Tough Bears Monday, and we are using this Monday to talk about the Bears yesterday. They got a win. 20-13 is the final. Also, we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. Visit your local Hyundai dealer and test drive the Hyundai Palisade today. I would like to take some phone calls today. I don't ordinarily do this at the top of shows, Campy. I'm sorry I didn't tell you before we started it off today. We are going to try and listen in to a few minutes of Matt Nagy when he becomes available. Oh, he's ready now? Oh, great. Here's the Bears head coach talking about the Bears 20-13 win over the Lions.
Oh, yes.
Dana.
Feel good? Tough? Yeah. Yep. Where is he? Oh, gosh.
Get on with it.
Yeah. As far as injuries, nothing changed from yesterday. Watching the game, just going back. I thought that for our team, it was just a good team win. Just getting a win in general, we needed that. So I'll just start. Go to questions.
Watch the play that Danny got hurt on.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
What's your reaction, just visually?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not real pretty, you know. So, but it's a part of this game, and you know, you hate to see that. So we'll see how that goes here as moving forward.
Is there a reason that IR is in the discussions you'll be having over the next few days?
It could be. Again, we'll know more here in the next couple of days, but we'll see where it goes as far as weeks are concerned.
Danny and Akeem are two of the more vocal leaders on that side of the ball.
Right.
Do you need to see other people step up now without Danny and Akeem, you know, being on the field?
Yeah, that'll happen now. And you got two, you're right. There are two of the more vocal guys on that side of the ball. So when you lose a guy like Danny in the middle, that leadership part, you lose a little bit. But then you have Quick come in and do such a great job. I mean, he was all over the field yesterday, and that was really neat to see.
How difficult is it for guys to manufacture that energy that those two guys bring, Danny and Akeem, when they're on the field?
Right. It's hard just because there is so much between the two, just their personalities in general, you know. They're both a little bit different with how they handle their personalities, but they're very similar on the field leadership-wise. So as we move forward here, we'll have guys that are always ready and prepared, and the coaches will have them the same way.
Matt, I don't think it came up yesterday in postgame, but Trey Burton, is there any concern with him?
He had a calf, so we'll just kind of see how that goes.
Matt, with the switch at center yesterday, we went back and looked at the tape. How do you weigh maybe the risk of the snap issue that, that Cody has had and was an issue yesterday versus the benefits that you guys obviously think there are of him being at center?
We did just that. We did. You weigh that out and you say, okay, if you make that switch, are the pros better than the cons? And so going through a couple snap issues here or there, there were a few of those yesterday. We've been through that before, and Cody's done a great job of pulling through that. So we just know that making that switch for a lot of different reasons is more beneficial. And then we have ways that we can protect some of the snaps.
Did the tape show that the switch was worth it?
Yes.
The benefits were
for sure. Yeah.
What ways? Can you be more expansive about what you liked
with the switch?
The center and why, you know?
Yeah, just a lot of it comes down to some experience, some communication, that sort of thing. I'd say that's probably the biggest thing.
Is there a benefit to having a veteran like Cody between two guys who have little experience?
That's probably a good way to look at it, for sure. I think you have a balance. When you look at it before, you have experience-wise, you're dealing with Leno on the left, right, Cody, and then you have James and Rashad. And so – that was one of the things that we looked at with that switch, and then I think it's just you kind of balance it out a little bit.
How did James handle the move personally, just telling him, and so he doesn't feel like a scapegoat for some of the players?
Yeah, well, we were very honest and open with him, and he handled it great. He really did, because we told him this is a team thing. This isn't an individual thing. We love your trajectory. We love the way you're playing. This is just – there's more to it, and he completely understood. He was great.
Matt, with your forward – approach to things, when you see flashes out of Mitch like you saw in the second and third quarter yesterday, where does that leave you as you look?
Yeah, you know what it's interesting is when you go back and watch it, it was actually all four quarters. And we had some mistakes on offense that wasn't him. And that's what I took from this was that yesterday he really across the board he missed one guy on a route. He missed that. When I say he didn't throw it to him, he had maybe two of the whole game. He had two throws that he probably won't back, but none of them were critical. And he made a bunch of really good throws. The one that never got talked about, the best throw of the game yesterday was the one he threw to A-Rob down the left sideline when he got hit. That's not a lot of guys make that throw. And he stood in there and made that throw, and A-Rob made a hell of a catch.
What are the biggest things that give you the belief that he is going to get himself to where he should be?
Just seeing that. When everybody does what they're supposed to do, it's good because you see when 11 guys do their job, and then he's able to be better at his job. And I think that's what you take away from it. It's just if one guy just messes up just a little bit, then sometimes it goes back to the quarterback.
Matt, how much responsibility is there in the quarterback to do something when all 10 other guys aren't doing it? When there's a bad snap and he can't see the defense right away, when a play breaks down, it just doesn't seem like he's making plays out of those adverse situations. I mean, do you just say, well, that's just the offense wrecking it for him, or does he have a responsibility to overcome that like other guys seem?
Right. I would say throughout the beginning of the season, there hasn't been as many of those using his legs. Yesterday, you saw at least three where he used his legs in those situations, whether it was a snap or whether it was somebody ran the wrong route, and it looks like he's not throwing it to who he should, but really the route's not the right route, and so now you got to ad lib. And you saw that there was a couple plays yesterday. It might have been a three-yard gain, but it's better than a four-yard loss.
You're listening to Matt Nagy's press conference on a Built for Tough Bears Monday on the Score.
Yeah.
I think he looked right, then left, went straight to what is he?
Yeah, he did. He looked just for an instant. He's just checking the protection real quick, and then he goes over to the other side, and there's some different things we can do over there. So that's not the first time, and then won't be the last time. It's magnified because of where we're at.
How do you balance the three scoring drives versus the nine that ended in punts? And what can you do to take away from the success that you had in those touchdown drives?
Well, just understanding how good it felt to – we were moving the ball. We were staying ahead of the sticks, which is a theme here for us. As we do that, we can do some good things now on offense. End of the game, you get more situational, with the four-minute stuff. We have some different calls made at different times, and then the defense can – we do what we do based off of what the defense does. I'm talking 4 minute. But, it goes back to right now we got to be better on the opening drive. We're not as good there, and we got to be better there.
You had a similar
kind of mini explosion against Washington. Or
Yeah.
Is this different? Does it feel different at all that maybe it's a little bit more sustainable than that ended up being?
It does. I think it does. You know, I for us, just the fact that we've been going through it a bunch of weeks now, and you feel like, I really believe that when we stay ahead of the chains and we get to a second and, you know, four, second and three, or you get a first down after a first down, we get going. We get in rhythms. We get chunk plays. And then we want to be better in the red zone. And yesterday we had that big one, the big red zone, third and seven on the throw to TG. But I think there's different parts of it. And for us, we definitely want to get to that touchdown mode, type stuff. Yeah, you're good.
What do you need to see from Adam Shaheen to have him factor into your game plan?
Again, we want all of our players to be able to be completely detailed and just play hard and do everything they can to be the best player they can be.
Matt, going back to staying ahead of the chains there, you guys were sacked on second and six and third and one. Anything that you saw in those particular plays, you know, the second and six play action where Mitch looks like he's going downfield, Taylor, I believe, falls on the other third and one, anything you diagnosed in those?
Which third and one were you talking about?
The third and one play action. I think it's early in the fourth quarter where Taylor kind of just ends up falling down.
Yeah. The one third and one was there was some stuff involved there. I'm not going to get into on this one, but I mean, I just think that there's some aggressiveness in some areas, and when you're second and six, you know, you want to stay away from sacks on second and six because you want to stay third and manageable. And you know, we were 2 for 12 yesterday on third down. We weren't nearly as good as we needed to be with that.
Sorry. Does Shaheen have a chance to be active this week, or is this an until further notice? This is the way you're going to go with it.
Right. Again, we're kind of working through all that.
With Trey, when you went back and watched the tape, did you see opportunities for him that were missed, or are you just not seeing opportunities for him to get the ball?
Yeah, yesterday he had that one catch on the sideline that was close, bang bang with
Trubisky,
the feet.
He's a great player.
And then there's some opportunities here or there. Yesterday there weren't just quite as many.
I know you've said if you're on the field you don't want any reservations for guys. Do you see Burton playing with any reservations just given the nature of the groin injury that still has kind of lingered?
No, I feel like for him, again, he's not at that 100% level. So it's trying to say, okay, what are the right routes for him to do to where you feel that burst or you feel like he can, you know, beat man coverage. And he's giving it everything he can, and that's just kind of where we're at. Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Matt Nagy on a Built for Tough Bears Monday here on The Score. I would like to talk to you about the Bears. Here's a question that I have for you. Did you find yesterday's win satisfying? 312-644-6767 is the number. If you'd like to jump in, you can also text us at 670-11. Nagy said some things about the center guard switch with Daniels and Whitehair. I want to go more in depth on that. And I think I got the right person to help me out in that regard. You'll hear what Olin Kreutz had to say about it next here on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Snap back, 4th and 7. Driscoll stepping up. Driscoll steps out of a tackle, running left, fires into the end zone. Pass is incomplete.
Flag down.
As time expires, but there is a flag.
Illegal forward pass.
Here we go.
Offense.
Oh, okay.
Ball game.
Beyond the line of scrimmage.
Fade to black. Bears defense holds 20-13. They snap their 4-game losing streak. Mitch Trubisky, 3 touchdown passes, and the defense does get off the field to end the game. And the Bears get their second home win.
That highlight is courtesy of our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Club Dub is reopened. There are a lot of Bears fans that are like, man, y'all ain't even 500. You better close up Club Dub. If it's what you do, it's what you do. Go ahead and have yourself a party.
Is there a party that doesn't necessarily, like, something lesser than the club, you know?
I don't know, because if it's the thing that you do.
Cookout?
Well, no, I mean, a cookout is a little bit more involved. A soiree? You want to call it a soiree?
Yeah, soiree works. Shindig?
Yeah, and I do wonder if there are guys who maybe felt pressure to go in there, and they're like, guys, we won against a backup quarterback and
could have lost.
We could have lost the game, and we're 4-5. But if it's what you do, it's what you do. And Matt Nagy made that very clear yesterday.
It would have felt weird for me, just knowing my personality. I'm like, yay.
Getting a win in the NFL is a big deal after you've lost 4 games in a row, but I'm kind of with you. Like I it would have been a I'm gonna get dressed and get back to work type deal for me. But I also get the person that wants to. You've had all this pent up emotion. You want to exhale and you want to do it by putting the strobe light on and the disco ball and all that good stuff.
Mitch has got a whistle with his shirt off, dancing in the middle of the locker room.
I mean, you know he was. You know
it. This was huge for him.
It was all the vindication he needs to get back to work this week.
He's holding the ball, crying like Jordan after he won the championship.
Wow, damn, Tony. I give him credit. You know where Mitch was really good yesterday? He was good versus man coverage yesterday. If you look at his touchdown throws, they were all against man. He made some good throws. This is why teams usually play drop 7 against him. Because, man, he can step into throws and let his guys make plays, and those guys will oftentimes make plays. But in zone, he really, truly struggles with the looks that he gets. Now, the question on the table, I'm Lawrence Holmes, by the way. I realize that you might be new, because you probably have the day off for Veterans Day. I do the show every day, noon to 2 here on The Score. I appreciate you listening to the show and checking it out if you're new to the broadcast. The question for you today is, was that a satisfying win? And some people have already given their thoughts via the text line, which is 67011. You can also call us if you wish, 312-644-6767. In the first segment, you heard from Matt Nagy, and he was talking about a lot of stuff, and particularly the switch. Why you made the switch from Cody Whitehair to why you made the switch from James Daniels back to Cody Whitehair at center. And you saw some of it last week where you have a quarterback who's not necessarily great at communicating protections. And then you add that with a young player who's playing center, even though it's his natural position. It's his first year playing in the NFL, and a lot of stuff's being thrown at him. So you put both of those things together, and it could end up being really bad protection looks. So they wanted to go with a more veteran voice. Before I let you hear from Olin Krutz, all-world center, on this, I want you to hear what Mitch said after the game, because it plays a very important part into what Olin was saying about the switch.
Yeah, it was good. Cody does a great job having him back there. He's a really big leader for this offense and this offensive line. So he's really good with communicating, helping those young guys to the sides of him now. And we have really good chemistry, me and him. So he gives me confidence, and we just got to keep feeding off that. And when he's in the middle, just his communication, how he leads the guy, I think it really helps the offense and guys feed off that.
Okay, I mean, that's fair. That's a fair analysis, I think, of why they made the switch. Here's what Olin had to say from what he saw of the two guys switching positions this morning when he talked with Mully and Hall.
They're not going to change it back this year. That's what they're going with. And they went with it, to be fair to them. And, you know, I was telling Ann Heron in the post game that I did watch every play, and they do have some communication issues. And right now in their careers, Cody Whitehair is better at communicating than James Daniels is. And if you ask me where James Daniels' problem is right now when I watch the film, it's his awareness. It's seeing things, it's seeing blitzes. But the Bears were getting beat by those same blitzes and those same games yesterday. And the reason why they didn't take a victory lap, and the reason why I didn't like Mitch Trubisky's response after the game, was after you give up five sacks and you only rush 24 times for 81 yards for a 3.4 average, it's not a time to say how much better your offensive line played and how much better Cody Whitehair did there. Now, if you're asking me how I would have felt, that wouldn't have went over real well with me if you would have tried to move me from center to left guard when we're going through a four-game losing streak. I wouldn't have been happy about it. But for a young kid like James Daniels, what does he do? I mean, he's got to go there. And he credited him yesterday. He had some big, big run blocks, struggled a little bit in pass pro, which you would expect, since he hasn't been in a left-handed stance, taking that kick step for a while. So I think they handled it as well as they could. And this is no knock on Cody Whitehair, guys. He's been their best offensive lineman this year. He is consistent. The contract they gave him reflects the fact that Cody Whitehair is an ultimate team player, a good leader for them, and a very good offensive lineman.
So that was Olin talking about the technical aspects of the switch, that he was bothered. Like, we were watching it together, you know, Mitch's press conference on the Football After Show. He was bothered by the response. You heard a little bit of it there, but the guys did a good job this morning of following up and ask him exactly why it bothered him so much.
For me, and I know a lot of people say, well, he's just answering the question. For me, it wasn't the right answer at the right time. It wasn't a time to go all in on me and Cody are close. Cody gets everybody aligned up there, which, you know, for me right away, it just says that James Daniels doesn't, right? So
right.
If you think about it in another way, it's like if someone went to James Daniels after they put Chase at quarterback and they were like, man, what'd you feel about, oh, me and Chase are so close. And at least Chase knows where the blitzes are coming from, and he gets us lined up and he gets us moving in the right direction. That wouldn't be the right answer either for James Daniels there. So no, I didn't like the answer, because I just think at that point, you're the quarterback. You guys stole a win from the Detroit Lions, and at that, who didn't have their starting quarterback. And really all you have to say there is that was a coach's decision, and that's what we're going with. Because you got to understand, if you go all in on how well Cody Whitehair is doing there, and how he can get guys on everybody, and how the communication is better, and how his leadership he's good at his leadership role and all those things, then it's kind of a knock on James Daniels. And I know that people say, well, James got to deal with it, and he will. But if you are the leader of the team and you stand up at that podium and you always say, we, and you barely give in any answers, then why to that one question did you go all in?
That's fair too. I mean, I get the dilemma that Mitch is in. He wants to compliment Cody Whitehair after a win, and it's a delicate balance that has to take place if you're trying to say, well, this is better than what we had, even though that other guy that we had is also in charge of protecting you from people coming to get you. But I think that Olin really drove the point home with the, what if someone would have said that about Chase? I think that's an excellent rebuttal by 57. 312-644-6767 is the number. Did you find yesterday's win satisfying? Out to the West Side and Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on the score.
Oh, hey, it's actually Don. But, yeah, no,
the win yesterday, it really didn't mean much. You know, it was real irritating because it's like people been calling for changes for a long time. You know, the offensive line changes, the play call changes, the run game. You know, you wait till you get on a four-game loser streak and then until the playoffs is nearly out of reach and then you make these changes. And then, you know, you play against Driscoll and the defense struggles, the offense struggles. Like, yeah, I think the Rams probably going to destroy them next week, to be honest with you. I'm really not high on this team. I'm really not high on Matt Nagy, and I really do think that Mitchell Trubisky just isn't intelligent. I don't want to, you know, insult the man by calling him dumb or calling him names or nothing like that. I'm going to be real mature about it because I wouldn't like that as a man, but I just don't think he's mature enough for the position. So
I appreciate the phone call, Don. I don't know how much you've paid attention to what the Rams have done, but their resume is scarier than what they are this season. It's kind of similar to what the Bears are. Now, they're above 500. They're 5-4, but their offense has been a little bit broken too. They were putting Blake Bortles in yesterday to add him to part of their run game. Not the way that Baltimore took RG3 and were like, hey, let's run that Heisman backfield out here. With Lamar and RG3 out there like, and then a pitch, and Mark Ingram, too. You got three Heisman Trophy winners in the backfield yesterday. I'm not as scared of the Rams as I was going into the game last year. And the Bears defense did a good job against them last year. A little different. The weather's not going to be terrible in Los Angeles like it was last year. You could tell that Jared Goff had no interest in being in this game last year. But I don't think they're that scary right now. Except for Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. But not even Sean McVay. Sean McVay, people in Los Angeles are saying the same things about McVay that we are saying about Nagy. But McVay has playoff wins. So he can lean back, Fat Joe, on that. We're going to take a timeout. We are going to take some more of your phone calls. 312-644-6767. But Tony says to me, hey, did you hear Ryan Pace yesterday? I said, no, I was in the dungeon getting ready for my show. He's like, there's some Ryan Pace stuff that we need to talk about. I said, cool. So guess what? We're going to listen to Ryan Pace talk about this team. The man of mystery himself peeks from behind that door. You'll hear what the general manager thinks next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Mike Glennon's our starting quarterback. So, yeah, he's our starting quarterback, and we're fired up about that.
They were fired up about that many moons ago. Bottom of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. On Veterans Day and every day, the Chicago Wolves are thankful for all the veterans and active duty military who've dedicated themselves to our country's well-being. It was our honor to welcome so many veterans to Allstate Arena Saturday and Sunday for Military Appreciation Weekend. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. We're talking about the Bears win. They beat the Lions 20-13. But was it a satisfying win? We're going to hear from Ryan Pace momentarily. Southside and Danny. Hello, Danny. You're on The Score.
Hey, Lawrence. Long time, man. Been following you. Good to hear you. Good radio.
Thank you. I agree. What's on your mind?
You know, when asked by the producer before the call, I'm thinking, well, satisfying. You can't say it's satisfying. It was more of a cringe win. You know, cringed our way through it, but... And I'm wondering more about, is this an evaluation process to get every factor out of the way so that Nagy can get his offense going as well as let Mitch relax so that they can make that tough decision in the end, you know, and then eliminate all the factors allowing Mitch or inhibiting Mitch you know?
Sure. I mean, it could be a checklist of things that they're looking at and saying, well, you know, did we draft the right person to play center? Because Nagy was involved in the drafting of James Daniels. So did we do the right thing last year or at the end of the year when we switched the two guys? Yes, I think you want to eliminate every possible explanation for why your offense isn't working. But the problem is that the offense still isn't working. And I know that Mitch is very easy to point at because, you know, he's been bad most of the year this year. And he's been bad against teams that aren't Washington or Detroit. I'll get to that in a minute. But if you look at some of the things that happen on first drives for the Bears, the idea of the scripted plays, the plays that you're supposed to love, your bread and butter and all of that stuff. If you look at what the Bears have done in that regard, it's been terrible. And that's not all on Mitch. That's on play design. That's on play calling. That's on blocking. And that's on quarterbacking. And yes, I think that it's important that they come to a conclusion on the quarterback before the season is over. And it would be hard for me to believe that unless there is some sort of miraculous turnaround in his play. And again, I thought he played pretty well against man coverage yesterday. I don't see how you can do that. So Kevin Fishbane, who's a great follow, K Fishbane on Twitter, if you'd like to, broke it down. This is what the Bears' first drives have looked like this season. You ready? Week one, 6 plays, 12 yards, punt. Week two, 3 plays, 1 yard, punt. Week three, 9 plays, 25 yards, punt. Week four, 14 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. Who was week four? Was that? It wasn't Washington because they scored all their points in the second quarter against Washington. Week five, 7 plays, 31 yards, punt. Week seven, 3 plays, 7 yards, punt. Week eight, 4 plays, 7 yards, punt. Week nine, 3 plays, 1 yard, punt. Week 10, 3 plays, 7 yards, punt. So on the first drives this season, the Bears on those first drives have only gotten points once. Once. That was Minnesota, the team that Matt Nagy has wired. Absolutely wired.
And that means it wasn't Mitch that had that touchdown. That was Chase Daniel.
Chase Daniel? How dare you? That's right. He came in after Mitch got hurt, and he moved him down the field. James Daniels better not say that Chase Daniel has better command of the offense than Mitch does, or else there's going to be hell to pay. Let's hear from the general manager because we don't get to hear from him often. But one place where you can hear him is on the pregame show on BBM, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Tony pulled this. Why did you pull it?
I pulled it because he addresses directly, and Jeff does a great job of asking him direct questions on the issues that we talk about on a weekly basis with this team. The poor start, the poor record, Mitch Trubisky's growth or lack thereof, and Matt Nagy's ability to adjust when adversity hits.
I think you look at it, man, every season takes on a different storyline. I think there's different types of adversity that hit this year. We're hitting some more adversity, but look, we're disappointed in the record. You know, obviously we have higher expectations, but this happens in sports. You know, it happens in sports, and the reality is we got 8 games left. We got a great opportunity to right the ship. We acknowledge the record, but we're fortunate enough where we can control the outcome.
You're a fan last week in Philadelphia. You're watching what happened in the first half, the offensive struggles. What was going through your mind?
You know, I just think there's so many self-inflicted mistakes on offense, and you're putting yourself behind the stick, so you're on the road, you're playing a good defense, and it's third and long. You know, that's not a recipe for success. But with that said, I think we were fortunate our defense hung in there in the first half and kind of kept us in the game, kind of a bend but don't break style, allowed us to regroup at halftime and really gave our offense a chance to get back in it, which we did. We just got to finish it.
So with that second half, there were a number of big plays made by Mitch and the offense. Did you see signs of 2018 Mitch in some of those throws?
You know, I think, Jeff, you saw offensive production in the second half because we played more mistake-free football, really, and I think we didn't put ourselves in those disadvantaged situations. You know, it allowed us to be a little bit more balanced, and I think really when that's happening, it opens up the pass game and things just get a lot easier on offense.
Everything Mitch says and does is being parsed, and while it's part of the job, do you feel he is competitive and mentally tough enough to deal with this hurricane of opinion?
Yeah, I think this is all part of playing quarterback in the NFL, and every quarterback goes through this, and it's just part of the experience. And I think, you know, we're fortunate we have a head coach that understands it more than anyone. You know, he played the position himself, and I think there's growth that happens on the field. There's growth that happens off the field. Other young quarterbacks around the league are going through it, the same thing. And honestly, we're proud of the way Mitch is handling it.
There's nobody that did more work on Mitch and knows him better than you. What gives you the belief he's going to play his way out of this?
I think, you know, you see it within games right now. You saw it in Philly. It was really a tale of two halves. And so he's fighting his way out of it within games. We all know Mitch can play better. You know, Mitch knows that. I think he's just in the process of navigating through this along with the rest of the offense. And he has confidence in himself. His teammates have confidence in him. And we just got to fight through this.
That 18 game against the Lions, almost a year ago to the day, 148 quarterback rating. Is that a platform game for his young career? Great numbers across the board, even for guys like Anthony Miller getting on track in that game, his best game. There's a lot to that game.
Yeah, I think there's something to it. I think, you know, these are the same players that we played with at that level last year, as you pointed out. And look, we're fortunate. We got 8 games left to get this thing back on track. And, you know, I know Matt and his staff are the right leaders. And, you know, Matt became our head coach for moments like this. His leadership shines in moments like this. I think his attitude's infectious. It infects the whole team. And, you know, I really appreciate the way Matt's handled these times. These tough times is when people really show themselves. And I think Matt's doing a good job.
What do you need to see in the second half of the season to make you feel better about where this thing is going?
It's wins. It's wins. That's what we need to do. That's why we're here.
Yep. But it includes growth, too.
100%. You know, we got a lot of young players playing. I think we're the 6th youngest starting offense in the NFL, and there's some growth that happens with that.
Would you agree many of the troubles of this season related to self-inflicted mistakes that are causing this constant regression, repetitiveness on drives, or when it comes to defense, extending drives?
I think there's something to that. I mean, as an entire team, we're not playing to the best of our ability. We know that. And look, there's a number of factors why, and I think that's one of them, but I'm confident we can clean this up.
Okay, there's a couple things in there that I'd just like to address really quickly. One, Matt being the perfect coach to handle a storm like this, how do you know? Because you haven't gone through it yet. And it's still, like, to me, that's inconclusive whether or not he's the perfect coach to go through this. And I would lean towards no, because you lost 4 games in a row. But whatever. The other thing is, well, Matt understands it. No disrespect to Matt Nagy's playing career, because Lord knows I didn't have a playing career as advanced as his. He has no idea what Mitch is going through. And him playing quarterback at Delaware or in an arena league, he has no idea. He's never been in that position. And I know that he's sitting there with Mitch in the meetings, but to be fair to Mitch, I think Mitch could be like, nah, fam, you don't know. You don't know what it's like to walk through here and see the TVs, like, people just killing me on television or on Lawrence's show on The Score. I don't think that you had to worry about that at Delaware, fam, or with the Arizona Rattlers, whoever the hell he played for in Arena League.
What I took from that is he's going to re-sign Mitch.
I'm not ready to say that yet. I think that there's still so much more this season that needs to play out before it happens. But I think that so far, when it comes to the quarterback position, he has been overmatched in his work on it. I did this last week, and I promised that we weren't going to talk about it on Friday's show, but I will talk about it today. Later on today, when you have time, don't leave my radio show now, but later on today, I want you to go watch the Mitchell Trubisky episode of Gruden's quarterback camp. Just go watch it and then get back to me on it. Because there's stuff in there. There's also, can I just say for the record, I hated that show. And the reason that I hated that show is that I was looking at it from the perspective of coaches and front offices. And you just knew that Gruden was going to find his way back into the NFL. And quite honestly, if I'm one of those other coaches, I don't want him having access to my quarterbacks. I don't want him knowing how those guys think on that level. But there's some really telling stuff in that episode that, quite honestly, it strikes me as, had they just seen that episode, they would have been like, nah, Deshaun's our guy. because Gruden makes the case for Mitch to not be the guy at number two. So later on today, watch it, and then we can have a discussion about it tomorrow if you wish. Or if you've already seen it, just text me. You saw it. You know. You saw exactly what went on. 670-11 is where you can text the show. I'm going to talk with Big Ant Heron about the Bears next here on The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.